Good morning, everyone. For those of you in this side of the room, I'm the guy in the corner making all the noise, just in case you're wondering. If we have not yet met, my name is Andrew. I am kind of the next steps guy. I kind of oversee a lot of the discipleship material. If you've got questions about Jesus, how to grow in Jesus, questions about scripture, whatever the case is, come find me. I would love to have a conversation with you, see where you are with your walk with the Lord, see what we can do to give you all the benefits that you can have to strengthen your walk in Christ. Amen. Because the two most important things we need to know is who God is. Amen. Secondly, who he says we are in him. And we want to help strengthen that in you, who you are in Christ. And so if you have questions about that, I would love to connect with you. As Pastor John started our series off in devotion last week, we're going to turn to the same kind of umbrella scripture in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It's a very simple opening scripture. And it just says, if you have your Bibles, this is where we're going to be camping out, really, the premise of this whole conversation. And it says that all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Now, one of the most amazing things, if you've hung out with any of the sessions that we've done with Foundations or deeper in our discipleship, you know, sessions that we do here, there's a game we like to play. It's called Where Is It in the Bible? One of the things, I heard that smirk over there. He knows it well. One of the great things we love to do about our faith in Christ is be able to track how God works. One of the covenant names that God has is not Jehovah Sneaky. He's not out to make things more difficult for us. He's out to make things simpler for us. Amen. And when we look at this whole premise of Acts chapter 2 and the birth of the church and what that means to both you and I today, there's a lot of nuances to that. But at the end of the day, God really is looking for one thing from his people. And if you're taking notes, this is really kind of the whole premise of this, is we are looking for a devoted community, i.e. the church. You, me, us's together, the church. Now again, Book of Acts, chapter 2, has a lot of weird imagery with it. If you've read it, you know what I'm talking about. If you've got questions, really good to bring up tomorrow night at Deeper, just throwing that out there. We are going to take a look at why the book of Acts started the way the book of Acts started. What I want to do is start off by looking at the fellowship and the community that God birthed in Acts and give a trajectory to really how we can see that all the way through Scripture. If you're taking notes, we're going to be looking at this first point. God has always formed his people. And we're going to be looking at two separate events this morning, just to give a premise of what God's really doing here. And we're going to be looking at Mount Sinai and the book of Acts, or the upper room. Everyone, if I said Moses, does everyone know who I mean by Moses? The Ten Commandments guy? That guy, he went up that mountain? Well, that was Mount Sinai. That's where we really start to see the formation of the children of Israel. And one of the most amazing things is this is where we start to see God giving instructions on how the children of Israel were to live. Well, that's great. That's Old Testament. We aren't. Correct. But there are some striking similarities that we can see between the two to show how God formed not only a whole nation, but now us as the people of God. And what I want to do is break some of this down to show you the consistency of our God, the faithfulness of how God works. And we're going to kind of pull this next slide up. Really, there's two main scriptures we're looking at. We're not reading it for time's sake, but Exodus 19 versus Acts 2. Here are some striking similarities that you're going to find. In both of the accounts, both had a fiery visitation from the Lord. Mountain of Sinai had God come down and actually touch the top of that mountain. And actually today, if you look up Mount Sinai, you can actually find a mountain that is revered as holy with a scorch mark on it. You can find that. And in the book of Acts, we know that there was tongues of fire, languages that landed on God's people, symbolizing God's and fiery work. Both had the voice of the Lord. When you read Exodus chapter 19, we see that God was speaking in ways that sounded like thunder and lightning to the degree where the people of Israel were kind of terrified. Now, for all fairness, if you woke up and you looked across your house and there is a hill with a burning pillar on it speaking as that of thunder, I would get a little freaked out as well. I probably would. Both instituted a priesthood. In Exodus, after Israel was formed, they made that lovely book, Leviticus, that we all know and love so much. And that was the formation of the holy priesthood that was to make God's people holy. But in the New Testament, Peter calls us a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, that now individually we are those that minister to the person of Jesus Christ. Both affected a numerical value of 3,000 people. Sadly, in Exodus chapter 19 and in the successive chapters afterwards, we see that Aaron made this wonderful golden calf that didn't go very well for them. And sadly, God had to punish 3,000 people for walking in idolatry. But in Acts chapter 2, we see 3,000 people come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior at the birth of the church. Are you seeing the parallels, how God is redeeming certain things through certain time? And here's the biggest thing. Moses formed Israel as God's people, but the apostles formed the church. God has always wanted a visible representation and a reflection of his mercy and his goodness on the earth. Whether as a nation, a people, maybe in you, it's you in your family. Maybe you are the only reflection of Christ that your family has to see. Whether you're by yourself or not, God has always wanted a visible, holy people that represent his goodness to change a nation. Amen. Amen. But there's a problem with the Exodus story. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 19, verse 16 to 17. It'll be up on the screen. It says this: on the morning of the third day, thunder roared and lightning flashed, and a dense cloud came down on the mountain. There was a long, loud blast of a ram's horn, and all the people trembled. Moses led them out from the camp to meet God. I bet you that was a piece of work. Hey guys, let's go over this way. Maybe not. And they all stood at the foot of the mountain. You'll read later on that Moses was the only one that went up to meet the Lord, while the rest of them stood at the base of the mountain. And this is where we get to see God work in the New Testament church, is that we no longer are standing separate away from the Lord's presence. We have been invited in. That God doesn't keep us at bay. God doesn't show us moments of his splendor and his majesty and his goodness and his salvation and his delivering power to keep us away. What did John the Baptist and Jesus preach? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at its arm's length away. You can actually be transformed by the good work of Jesus. The wonderful thing about Exodus and Moses is that we see the holiness and the righteousness of God being established for a nation to follow, so all other nations would see that's God's people. That's the righteous people that God loves. But of course, we know the story. Israel didn't go so well. They fell into rebellion, denied Jesus. And then God birthed the church, and now the church is not keeping people at bay. Our job is to invite in. You can come in and be transformed. And this is how God births a church, a fellowship, a community of faithful believers that say, we love the presence of the Lord so much, we're inviting everyone in. Are you blessed that God has not kept you at the foot of the mountain, but he's invited you up? This is the good work of the church, that you and I, we, uses, get to build people and our communities to reflect the goodness of Jesus. That God's goodness has not kept you at the base of the mountain. He's saying, come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What happened just here in this morning when we took time to pray for one another? Guess what? In the Old Testament, you would have had to gone to a priest and wash yourself in the basin and done some rituals and had some oil dipped on different parts of your head and presented yourself, and then a week later go back. Here, we just get to access the presence of God together to be formed as his body on Graham and Ann. What a glorious price Jesus has paid for that. Not only did he pray that we would be one, but that we would be united in him to see his kingdom come. This is the big dilemma, that yes, God's righteousness and holiness was seen with Moses and Exodus, but God's grace and mercy and compassion and long-suffering and transformation was seen in the birth of the church in the book of Acts. That we now, under the blood of Jesus, under the good word of the things that he has spoken to both you and I, we can walk in freedom and confidence in him now. And that is such an invitation to everyone in the room. Trust me, you didn't wake up on a Sunday morning to come listen to a 5'4" garden gnome. Jeff did. God, we just pray for Jeff right now. You came to meet with the living God. You came to meet Jesus. If you know him in the room or you don't know him in the room, you did not come for theatrics. You came to be transformed. And that's what we're here to do. That's why we take time to linger in worship. That's why we take time to linger in prayer. That's why we take time to linger in dissecting the word. Why? Because it builds us. If there's anything I will compel is don't come here hungry and leave starving. Come hungry, leave filled. Come in weak, leave broken. But don't break yourself out of something that's going to leave you into more brokenness. Break yourself to be filled with the knowledge of Jesus. Don't come in here confused and leave even more confused. Come get clarity. Whatever you need, God has not left you at the base of the mountain. He said, come, come be transformed. Some of us might be in that season where we want to come into the presence of the Lord, but we'll become undone. And what that really means is God will start putting his finger on things that aren't really comfortable. But the only way you and I can be transformed is when we submit to his goodness. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, amen? But then what is all this for? That sounds real good. Love that, but why? Point number two, if you're taking notes. We are empowered to be a witness. We don't just do this for fun, even though it is fun. Come to a cook day. You want to have some fun in the presence of the Lord? Come to a cook day. You'll have some fun with that, and we will eat the benefits. But there's this confusion sometimes as to why and how Acts work. What was the reason for doing all of this? And we're going to find the answer from the mouth of Jesus himself in Acts chapter 1, verse 7 to 8. It'll be on the screens. Now, this is when the disciples were harassing Jesus. Is now the time you're going to restore Israel? Is now the time you're going to make us great? Is now the time you're going to make us the head of all nations again? And Jesus replies this. The Father alone has all authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Notice this. Notice this. The transforming work of the Holy Spirit isn't just for a good flash in the pan moment. It's to make us reflective witnesses of the good news of Jesus. To be filled and to come into the knowledge of the Holy Spirit isn't just some emotional thing, although it does impact our emotions. It transforms us to say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Hey, let me tell you about my God. When those people come around you, when you're walking in that obscene peace that Pastor John talks about all the time, when you're just that peaceful that aggravates people, why can't you just react? Because I've got peace that surpasses all understanding. Well, how come you're not stressed out like everyone? Because I've got peace that goes beyond all understanding. How? Let me tell you about Jesus. It seems so simple, but notice Peter, the guy that denied Jesus 3 times, and Jesus told him, you're going to deny me 3 times, was the guy that led 3,000 people to receive Christ in the book of Acts. It's the same guy. Because when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, you become emboldened to witness. And you know what that means? To the believer, giving a cup of cold water to someone who is in dire thirst and is broken, the Holy Spirit can do a lot with that. Dropping off meals to people, Holy Spirit can do a lot with that. Simply giving someone a hug and a high five going, how's your day going, can break a yoke of heaviness off of someone. The work of the Holy Spirit emboldens us to be a witness for him in simplicity. That's why when you read about the book of Acts, the scripture that we just read, they learned, they hung out, and they ate. That was the early church. They hung out, they learned, and they ate. I like all of those things. Amen. Absolutely. But when the Holy Spirit does that, the Holy Spirit doesn't just build us as a people for the world. He builds us for each other. Ephesians chapter 4, it'll be up on the screen. It says this: for there is one body, one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. Now let's clear this up. If you are in Christ, you have that. But you have to be in Christ to have that. The only way we can receive the generous things of Jesus Christ is to be in the person of Jesus Christ. You can't backdoor heaven. Good luck. You can't trick the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. Jesus is never going to let someone in that he has not condoned or given access to. The only way we benefit from the benefits of Christ is to submit to him. And that's why we have one body, one Spirit, called to one glorious hope and future, one Lord, one faith. There's only one thing we have to do, only one. Isn't it amazing that in the beginning, Adam and Eve were given one rule: don't eat. And then Jesus comes in and makes it so simple. Because Adam ate, let's restore you. But there's only one way to do it. Are you happy God has not given you options? There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. It has always been through Jesus Christ. It will always be through Jesus Christ. That's how this body of Christ, not just here, but across the island, is strengthened by the strength of Jesus being made known. They learned, they hung out, and they ate. That's how we build a body of believers together. Now, the back end of that scripture says this: however, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. Obviously, that's salvation. You and I being made right with the Father, not kept at the base of the mountain, being brought up to the presence of the Lord. Are you happy about that today? Yes, amen. But there's something else to this. Not only have we been empowered to witness Christ to the lost and to witness Christ to edify one another, point number three is we are empowered to build. We have been empowered to build. We're going to camp here just for a few minutes. A lot can be said, number one, with the book of Acts, absolutely, but also 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's probably some spicy conversations we can have concerning the contents of this. But this is what the Apostle Paul says about how we are built up together. Now remember, the Corinthian church was messy as all get out, but they were hungry to see God move. And this is what Paul says to one of the messiest churches in the New Testament. He says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 will be up on the screen. It is the one and only Spirit of God who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles. Some were slaves, some were free. But all have been baptized into one body, one Spirit, and we all share that same Holy Spirit. There is a gift in every single person in this room. But Andrew, I don't like to preach. You don't have to. What can you do? I like to bake. Then bake you will. Some of you are gifted to sit in the education systems and be a light for Christ there. I am not. Pastor Shea is called to be the next gen pastor. Guess what? I am not. Pastor Michelle is called to do all the administrative stuff and lead the worship and all that. Guess what? I am not. You might be called for something specific that might never happen on this stage, but you know what? It is still a reflection of God being known. It's still a reflection of God being known. And it doesn't matter what your gift is, it's the fact that you have a known gift, and God wants to use that to make his goodness known on the earth. It goes on to say that the eye can't say to the foot, I don't need you. Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and your eyes are blurry and that there's that corner of your bed frame that you just don't see and you just, your foot needed your eye there for a second, didn't it? Because then your tongue started crying out. We need the body parts to function as a human body, but we also need the body of Christ to function as the body. Some of you are gifted for wealth. And we're going to be friends. Last name is D-U-N-C-A-N. Some of you are, and that's awesome. Don't be shy about that. If that's how the Holy Spirit works with you, be confident in the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Some of you are gifted to sit in political realms. Go do it. Some of you are gifted to be a really great parent. There is no greater call besides the preaching and teaching of the gospel than raising a godly lineage. Mothers in the room, your job is of the highest importance, the highest recognized, and we honor every mother in this home that raises godly children. God bless you. And for every godly father that does the same, it is of the highest importance. God bless you, and may God strengthen you and preserve you. Raising a godly family in this day and age is the biggest hurdle that we have. And let's not pretend that it isn't. Some of you are amazing parents and grandparents. Keep going, keep building, keep pressing into the work of the Holy Spirit. You might not see the fruit of it in your lifetime, but Rahab never knew her decision to hide the spies was going to produce King David. And it was King David's throne that Jesus is going to sit on. God is into preserving generational lines. So to all my parents in the room, keep pressing in. You are a gift to the body of Christ. And even if you don't have physical children, maybe you mentor or mother or father spiritually, it's just as important. And that's your gift. Do it well. We all have a gift. We all have a place. We all have a function given to us by the work of the Holy Spirit. And why? Not to hang out with wealthy people, maybe. It's to make Christ known. In your wealth, are you making Christ known? In your area of having a business mentality, are you making Christ known? In you being a grandmother, a grandfather, or a father or mother, stay-at-home mom, whatever the case may be, are you making Christ known? I don't know how to do that. That's why the work of the Holy Spirit will make you a witness. I don't know how to do that. No one else does either. That's why the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to both you and I, because he's the one that does the transforming work. All of us have a God-given gift from the Holy Spirit. All of us have a place in the kingdom of God and here to function to make Christ known. Now, we're going to kind of come into the back end of this, and we're going to give some time to respond. Hebrews chapter 12. I really want to kind of land here for a little bit. It's a bit lengthy. It's two verses, but there's a lot there. And this is really the contrast of where we are. And this is the writer of Hebrews writing to the Hebrew church that was coming to know Jesus. And this is what he says. This is what the writer says. No, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who is the judge over all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven who have been made perfect. I have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkling of blood which speaks forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. You and I have not come to a mountain to spectate the goodness of God. You and I have been invited to come to Christ and be transformed by the work of the living God. You and I don't have to stay at the base of the mountain. The holiness of God has not pushed us away. Through the blood of Christ, the holiness of God says, come, come to me, and I will make you whole. You don't have to stay spectating at a mountain and don't fear my voice. Come and be transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit. What makes a godly community strong? A people who knows who God is and people who believe who they are in Christ Jesus. And I will encourage you today. Maybe you don't know what that gift is. That's okay. Let's work that out together. Maybe you don't really know how you fit into the body of Christ. That's okay. Let's work this out together. But dear friends, there is gold that the Holy Spirit has placed in you. There is a work the Holy Spirit has placed in you that He has not done yet. This may have been the hardest year of your life. And there might be a harder one coming down the line. Great encouragement, I know. But God has given us His peace in the midst of all of that. And sometimes the peace that you and I need from the Lord when we can't hear, when we can't see, when we don't know which way to walk, guess what? Sometimes the peace of God that you need is sitting in the person right beside you. That God has made us the fragrance of Christ for the body to be built together to see God glorified. Amen. Would you stand with me just for as we open up some space to pray and receive this? Number one, God, we just give you thanks and praise for you being good. We never want to miss an opportunity here. That if you've never heard the good news about Jesus, if you've never made the decision of, hey, I need to give my life to Christ because I don't have any course for my life. I am broken, I am confused, and I'm confused because I'm broken. If there is distance between you and the Lord, and you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, this is the most important and impactful decision you will ever make. And as one that was not born in a church or a Christian family, this is the most saving decision you can make. So just as a moment, with every eye closed and head bowed, just out of respect for people in the room, if you have never given your life to Jesus and you know that you need to come into a relationship with God, we want to pray and celebrate that decision with you if that's you. If there's anyone in the room that needs to make that decision today, could you just slip your hand up real quick? We're not going to linger long. Awesome. I'm going to invite the members of the prayer team up as we continue into this. We want to make space for two things. Number one, if you have felt like you have placed yourself at the foot of the mountain, where you know the Lord has called you to something greater, and you know that that is a scary trajectory to go on, you don't know quite what that looks like, just slip your hand up. Just slip your hand up. Yeah. And then secondly, if you know what God has called you to, and you kind of put it on the back seat for whatever reason, and the reason, to be perfectly honest, doesn't matter. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. If you know that God has called you to something and you just simply have to turn back and go to that thing and start step one, but you just need help, just slip your hand up. Yeah. So as we pray here in a minute, I'm gonna generally pray over everyone in the room, but if you raise your hand for any one of those three things, come up and receive prayer. Come up and receive prayer from people that want to build you and make space for the Holy Spirit to fill you at a greater measure of clarity. Because you are in a body of believers that love you. We are here to see God continue the good work that He has started in you. And we will linger and dig and bury and inflame everything and anything that needs to happen for the goodness of God to be seen and for your part to play. So God, we just give you thanks and praise for your goodness. God, we just simply ask for those maybe, God, that wanted to give their life to you and maybe there's a bit of hesitation, but they're making it right in their hearts. Amen. That's awesome. Love that. But God, for us in the room, the body of Christ, the fellowship of the saints, the church that Lighthouse Church is being formed into, God, I thank you for the gifts that are in the room. And whether they're known or unknown, God, you are doing a work to make those things come alive. Just as Pastor John said last week, the teachings of the apostles, the Holy Spirit brings the words of Christ to life in us. And so God, for all of us in the room that don't know our part, God, would you show us, illuminate places in our hearts and in our minds to lead us into your good steps. Psalm 37:23 states that the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. And so God, would you give your people their orders today? What they've been called to do, their identity in you is more than just the chair that they've been sitting in. There is a function that you've called them in greatness and excellence to do great exploits for your kingdom. God, and for those that maybe need to come back to the thing that they know they need to be doing, for those who are in Christ, there is now no condemnation. God, we just say a giant yes and amen to that work. And would you take the rust off, shine it out, buffer it out, and may we shine our light for men to see. So God, we give you thanks and praise for all that you're doing that we see, all that you're doing that we don't see. Bless our families and as we go, in Jesus' name. If you've responded to any one of those things, come up for prayer, questions, tomorrow night, deeper, 6:30, we will be there. Come on up for prayer, guys, as we encourage one another. Bless you.